Hello, beautiful ladies, and welcome to Women's Hour. Tonight we are asking the question, what is a woman? And yet I never feel more certain about the answer than when I'm joined by my co-host, Amy. Most certainly a woman. Am I right?
Well, I think so. I am a woman, so I can confirm I'm a woman.
You never had like a boy day? You never put like your hair into a hat and wear overalls and then demand people call you he him.
Draw on a Sharpie mustache.
Yeah, not the bad kind though. No. Naughty.
Maybe sometimes, depends on my mood.
We are without Birdie tonight. She's in the naughty corner because she didn't do her homework. She's been very busy, bless her, and she didn't get to watch the Matt Walsh Daily Wire documentary What Is a Woman, which we'll be reviewing tonight. Birdie didn't get a chance to watch it because she's very busy, and she'll be joining us later when we move on from that topic. So I'm glad, I hope she's getting some rest instead of being pestered by the chat here on Women's Hour. Thanks everyone. We're gonna have a great stream. I hope you can't really spoil the documentary, can you? I think everyone watching the stream already knows what Is a Woman is about, even if they haven't seen it. So yeah, I think we'll be talking about it, and we'll, I guess, be recommending it or not recommending it as appropriate. Mm-hmm. And you saw it this week, so tell me, what were your initial impressions of the film?
I've never seen Matt Walsh in anything previously, but my initial impressions were this is essentially the same stuff that was being talked about 5 years ago. I don't know who this is aimed at, who's going to have any minds changed by this. So you had to download it through the Daily Wire, pay for it, like Daily Wire subscription.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that the people who are paying for this stuff see this stuff for free on YouTube every day for the past, like, 7 years.
Yes. Yeah, there's nothing really revolutionary in it. Nothing about it was a revelation. It's just a kind of, just like we talked about with the populist delusion. If you've had your ear to the ground, you'll know it all already. And all this is a collection presented in a very watchable format. Mm-hmm. Or in my opinion, it was.
High production value.
Yeah, I thought it was a bit too much at sometimes. Like all of the music and the staged little moments that were filmed, like it starts off with Matt Walsh is apparently at one of his children's birthday parties, and all the girls are wearing pink and all the boys are wearing blue, and there's like very like slow motion candles and confetti.
Those remind me of, I don't know if you've watched like really tacky true crime documentaries with the reenactments of daily life interspersed between like experts talking. It kind of reminded me of that.
Yeah. They lay it on very thick. Those segments especially were just very fake. There's just no illusion that I'm watching something real. And especially the music as well. I'm guessing they didn't have a composer for this film. It'd be kind of weird if they did, but it sounded like stock music, which I'm guessing is what it was.
Yeah, if I had to like sum up this documentary in a sentence, it would be Matt Walsh feigns ignorance of epistemology with obligatory Shania Twain.
Yeah.
So I feel like a woman.
I think he had to do that to some extent. Otherwise, a lot of the people he was interviewing wouldn't have talked to him. Like, if he just came out and started attacking them, he had to go in there and pretend to be kind of ignorant of everything, playing the hatchling, as it were. These people were talking very openly. I'm talking about the gender experts, the sex reassignment surgeon, all these people who very much are pushing this ideology of mysterious womanhood, shall we say. They wouldn't have even bothered talking to him if they knew that he was making a documentary about how basically transgender women are a danger to society.
They must have known, because they would have signed a contract.
I don't know. I mean, maybe. Yeah. I'm guessing there was some no, maybe not deception, but just, you know, if you say I'm making a documentary called What Is a Woman, and it's made by the Daily Wire. They had to find like the six people who didn't bother googling the Daily Wire and Matt Walsh, maybe, because they seemed like surprised, some of them, with what he was asking, and going like, why are you like, you're asking about the literal truth, like how dare you?
Yeah, but I thought that his I don't think his I don't think that it was feigned ignorance for that reason. I think that he, I don't know.
I watched a lot of
what happens in the documentary.
I watched a lot of Matt Walsh over the past few months. I first became aware of him when he wrote the Johnny the Walrus book, which is featured in the film. He reads pretty much all of it out loud. He wrote this sort of somewhat satirical book, and now he claims to be an LGBT author because it became like a best-selling book in the LGBT section of Amazon, which is funny. You know, basically the walrus is an analogy for a kid wanting to be the opposite sex or whatever. So I've been watching him, and he very much does, he does like the Fox News shtick, you know, like Ben Shapiro. He just does that. Yeah. You know, he finds news items, he gets tweets, and he goes like, oh, you know, how ridiculous, how dare they? This is disgusting. Yes. You know, but he's kind of funny. You know, you've seen the documentary, so you know he's a funny guy, and he's quite smart. And he's like, yeah, you know, he's married with kids, and he has this kind of wholesome Christian attitude that I quite enjoy.
Yeah, I assumed he was. I didn't Google Matt Walsh like the six interviewees, so I didn't know he was a Christian, but I assumed that he had some sort of Jewish or Christian background.
Yeah, he has a tattoo on his forearm of what apparently is a very old symbol of the crucifix. It's not a cross, but it looks kind of like a very stylized anime cross almost. So it's kind of a weird look for him, because he's really not the kind of guy who would have a tattoo. But we're not here to talk about Matt Walsh, anyway. Was there any part of it that stood out to you, any bit of it that you think you'll still remember a year from now, thinking back to this film?
I think the thing that stood out to me, it wasn't like a specific scene or argument, but there was so at the beginning, when the bit where he's talking about the kids' birthday parties, and he's talking about the difference between relating to his son and relating to his daughter, and how he doesn't need to give much to his son emotionally, but he needs to give to his daughter emotionally. And then he kind of had like this little scene with Stephen Hawking, and it's like he can devise a theory on black holes, but he can't. He was baffled by women, and then he goes to this sort of where he just wants to know. The sort of first half of or third of the documentary is him just wanting like a basic, like the kind of setup is him just wanting a basic common sense straight answer on what a woman is. And then he goes to West Africa, East Africa, to visit that tribe.
That was very memorable, yeah.
Yeah. So then they talked about, he asked them about what a man is and what a woman is. And they agreed on this sort of basic, the biological sort of primary sex characteristics of male and female. And then he asked them what they do, and the male, to be a man in that culture, it wasn't just to have a penis, it was to have children and then provide for your children, right? And he said, the African man said, if you have children and you don't provide for them, you're not a man. And then he spoke to a woman from that tribe and asked what a woman is. And she said, a woman is a woman who gives birth, like a woman gives birth, not someone who has the potential to give birth, but someone who gives birth, right? And this is what I meant by him. I playing the hatchling is he just acts as though he just wants this common sense answer, but then he will touch at these things where he there's he kind of has a sense that there's something more to it than just like primary sexual characteristics, and then he doesn't develop on that. And then when he was speaking to the chief of the tribe, he said, we don't think about these things because God, that's God's role. And I think there was something in that. And but then he went back to doing what he did. He kind of, there was like a little bit about Kinsey and that and money, that other psychologist. And then he kind of just went back to talking about the impact this has on kind of very just the real material impacts of transitioning, if it goes wrong, if there's like men and women in men and women spaces. And he has like this section where he has like those gotcha things where he tries to have the sort of conversations with the loony like trans activist professionals.
Yeah. That left a bad taste in my mouth. It felt like really you know, like he was really just digging, what do they call it, nut picking. Yeah, he was just trying to find the weirdest weirdo he could and then like pretend to take them seriously.
But then one of them said, like he said, if I see a chicken laying eggs and I see that, say that's a female chicken laying eggs, did I assign it female or am I just observing a physical reality that is happening in the world? And the woman says, does a chicken have a gender identity? Does a chicken cry? Does a chicken commit suicide? And like, I feel like he kind of framed that as a completely ridiculous thing to say, but I don't think that is a completely ridiculous thing to say. He acts as though, he says like, well, we've just sort of complicated it extremely recently, as though people have not been thinking quite deeply about the nature of truth and about the nature of and role of men and masculinity and females and femininity for thousands of years. He acts as though like everyone just believed in this sort of biological essentialism, a view of a man and a woman, throughout the entirety of human history and in all of the places but the West. This isn't the case. That's just not correct.
You think he should have explored the kind of spiritual, maybe not spiritual, but more cultural side of what the gender activists call gender, where we say like, okay, well, your genitals might tell the doctor what sex you are, but you need to perform being a good man or a good woman.
Well, it's not even just performance. So he was saying how, and you know, the bit where he's on Dr. Phil at the end, and he said, as human beings, we have a sex, male or female. That is a biological scientific fact. Now, gender is a linguistic term. So he's essentially viewing gender on exactly the same level as they are. Is that they're a social construct. And then right at the end, he went and asked his wife what a woman is.
That was the worst bit. I hate that bit.
But his wife wasn't right. She wasn't like digging a ditch, right? She wasn't chopping a tree down. She wasn't like wearing a power suit in a board meeting, right? She was doing the washing up. She was literally making him a sandwich surrounded by his children. So he's just acting like this is just completely just nonsense we have made up recently, that is everyone has just always thought about sex in this biologically essential way, and it's not.
Well, you know, the Maasai tribe and our ancestors didn't know the existence of chromosomes. They didn't know that you could either have an XX or an XY. They thought of it in a slightly more fuzzy term, which is, you know, genitals, genitalia, mm-hmm. and then the sexual characteristics that come after. I think, but that's always been, like, that's your sex, right? You're either male or female. And then there's a lot of culture around what it means to do that differently in gender roles, right? The what women do, what men do, like the Maasai said. But I really don't think that's... I guess you're right, that's not the question he was asking. But I think what... Especially like the first half, he goes really hard on this idea of just like, what is objective, observable truth? Like, what is reality? Like, can we all just agree on what the physical reality is? And yeah. I think I understand what you're saying, Amy, and yet I still feel like he did a really good service there, just showing how out of touch these people are with reality. How that someone on Twitter that really amused me said that the idea of truth, the word truth, he keeps saying it to that that gender professor, and he said it seems to exorcise them, exorcise like a demon. Like there's a demon inside them that's recoiling at the idea of like truth existing. That I don't know if that professor was transgender himself, like a very feminine man in a suit.
Okay, I just assumed he was a gay man.
Yeah, it could have been a gay man, or an effeminate man anyway. And it seemed like these people just recoil at the idea that there is an observable reality, which we that is kind of a scary idea, right? Like the fact that these experts and scientists, they don't want to, the fact he's not asking what is a woman, he's putting this question up as a way to force them to say that they don't believe in there being a physical reality that we all live in, right? He's just showing how insane they are.
Would you not say that a woman who has is a mother has be is a mother or is has been a mother is not, would you not say that is that woman is more of a woman than a woman that has not yet experienced that?
There's an extent to which, yeah.
Would you
There's.
not think that if you were unable, like I know I haven't had children, but I know that if I was unable to have children, I can pretty much guarantee that I would think there is some part of me I would that I am not to a full extent to have the ability to fulfill my role as a woman. I would.
Well, you know what I wanted to make the thumbnail of this video was I want to keep the thumbnails for Women's Hour to be sort of thematically recognizable with sort of this classic art. So I googled the maiden, the mother, and the crone, which are the three stages of womanhood. The maiden is not a little girl or a baby. This is not about femalehood. These are all three extremely valid definitions of a woman, three ways that a woman can be that are all perfectly feminine. Being a maiden, you know, she has a whole life ahead of her. Her future is undefined. She could be, you know, she's unmarried. In an archetypal sense, she's, you know, probably a virgin. The mother, which I think Matt Walsh leans on heavily as a Christian. If you watch his streams, he always goes on about the motherhood, just like you just did, saying that that is, sorry about that, that is the essential essence of a woman, is the potential for motherhood at least. And then the crone, who has most likely had children herself, who's sort of grown past that stage of her life. Her children have grown up and now she's this wise old woman, probably has a grandchild or two or more. And these are all very different people. These
Sorry.
people don't have much in common other than the fact that they are women and that they come from the same sort of genetic blueprint at different stages of their lives. And I think they are all in their own way defined by this capacity for motherhood. And that is a really interesting conversation to have. And I wish that he had talked to maybe someone like you who thinks about these things deeply.
He doesn't need to talk to someone about me because presumably as a Christian, he reads the Bible, which talks about these things.
Yeah, I think you're right. That would have been interesting. I think his aims were not to, he wasn't actually interested in answering the question, what is a woman? Because as far as he's concerned, it's adult human female, which is the answer that his wife gives at the end. And that for him, that's just like full stop, draw a line under it. That's woman. And I think that's true in a, you know, if we have to agree on a definition, that's pretty good. Like that is that. The discussion of what it means to be a woman for women in now and in the past and whatever, those are interesting conversations, but just not conducive to what he was asking
If a
about.
woman is simply an adult human female, then where is his what the definition of woman he wants seems to be the kind of definition of a woman that leads to the blurring of the lines between men and women, because at that point there's if a woman is defined simply by her biological ability to have a child and not her fulfilling the role of having a child, of nurturing that child, of submitting to a man, then that is a role of, then in that case the role of a woman has no practical meaning, and it has no higher sense of meaning, and it means that it's complete. It's almost interchangeable with a male.
Well, I wouldn't say that a woman is male if she
women just can give birth, but then everything else about them is pretty much the same as a male, so they just go about their business the same.
Well, now you're kind of sounding like a gendered professor. It sounds like you're a gender theorist.
I don't want that. Like, I don't want that.
But a woman who does male things and has male values, she has a male temperament, even if she dresses like a man and even takes testosterone to look more like a man and has her bits all carved up to, you know, like the Scott Nugent. The female that he interviews, you know, had all these horrific surgeries. Is there not a sense in which that is still a woman?
She transitioned quite late in life after having, like, didn't she say she had her
she
own
had three kids,
children?
Yeah. Yeah. So from your definition of motherhood, you'd be, yeah, then you'd,
I would say that,
you'd be golden.
I mean, when you looked at the images that they provided of her prior to transition, she was, she said she was an alpha female, but she presented herself. She didn't look like a butch. She was the least butch one in her lesbian relationship that they had a photo of. And it's like, how did she end? Like, I want to know how she ended up in that situation. Like, but that was just skimmed over.
Yeah. That would have been interesting. They just went for the, all of the really gory details about the complications with the surgeries and all the procedures.
Which was horrific.
Yeah, it was pretty grim. And then, like I said before, like this stock music over the top, it's like, it would have been so much more impactful if there was just no music at all and you just like I'm just talking to someone, but instead it really feels like I'm watching, like they're really trying to tug at your heartstrings by adding this like really emotive music to it. Which I just feel is completely unneeded because it's already like horrific and heartbreaking enough. Something the editing, it's a weird thing to complain about, I know, but it just bothered me.
No, it's not. I think if we're like about its qualities as a documentary, I guess that's legitimate. I don't really watch many documentaries.
Yeah, I wish there were more documentaries. I mean, I don't know if you know, Lauren Southern has done two documentaries, one about, I want to say, about immigration.
South Africa.
And one about South Africa was a more recent one. And that's the really only comparable thing I can think of that is a fully produced feature-length documentary, proper cameras, interviews, you know, going around, doing actual reporting work. That's comparable. This is superior to that as a product, I believe, although I think the topics...
A lot more funding.
Yeah, I think Lauren Southern's topics were probably more worthy of examination.
Well, especially the South Africa one, that was revealing something that most people wouldn't know, whereas most people are aware of what is going on whatever side they're on. Most people are aware of what is going on with regards to, like, trans rights.
Yes, yeah. I think it was nice to have it all in one place, like I said, but yeah, it's not going to tell you anything you don't know already if you're paying attention.
I think if you've got that, Daily Wire is, like, owned by Ben Shapiro, right?
Yeah, at least.
If you've got, like, Ben Shapiro money, why is he making essentially what is a longer and prettier version of his YouTube rants? Like, if you have that level of resources, why doesn't he put that into producing something which genuinely addresses the issues of gender in the real world, going to develop on things you've already said?
I'll tell you what, it's because he wants to make money off of this one, and I hope that he puts that money towards more ambitious projects in the future. But, you know, making a better version of what is already popular and selling it for money when, you know, a lot of his stuff is free at the moment on YouTube.
I mean,
and that
the
sort
only
of stuff.
People who are going to have a Daily Wire account are people who already watch the Daily Wire on YouTube.
Yeah, I should mention, thanks for bringing that up, because you can watch this film on the Daily Wire by getting a one month subscription to their Insider, I think that's what the name of it, their Insider tier membership. That's the only way you can watch it, is to subscribe for at least a month at least Insider tier membership level. So it's $14. Some despicable human beings have stolen it and uploaded it online. just, you know, I saw several uploads of this and torrents available that absolutely disavow, do not steal this movie. Matt Walsh, if Matt Walsh is watching, please go and we're telling people to go buy your membership so you can watch it. Do not.
If it's on Odyssey, that's Odyssey's responsibility and not mine.
Despicable. I like you, I did f feel it, the film was a bit lacking in intellectual content. I can see what he was going for because he didn't want to, in some extent, I feel like offering these more philosophical explanations, explorations of womanhood and gender and what, you know, what it means philosophically to have a category and to have rules for gatekeeping that category. Those are all interesting discussions from an intellectual perspective, but to go into those areas, I think he would be, it's almost like he's validating this theory of gender as being mysterious, as being up for debate, you know. And when it comes to, you know, women's sports, women's spaces, and even just, you know, observable reality that we need to agree on, I think we have to agree on the categories of male and female and say, for 99.9% of people, it's a black and white case of you're born with a penis or you're not born with a penis. And that's as far as it goes. And you're right about everything else that comes along with that, but the fact is that biology sets us up with temperaments, personality traits, bodies, that are, you know, brains, that go with our sex. So when you look at someone's genitals, you can tell a lot about their personality in terms of, on average, how they're going to be compared to the opposite.
He Part of it is also what you should do, and if he seemed to indicate that you should do certain things if you're a man and a woman, which is, but he just thought like he just that big like began and end at just being a man and a, like n not being not trying to be the other, right? Not on actively doing something else.
Well, if you
And
don't,
this
okay.
African tribe he went to, what did you say? It was a Nasai tribe or
Maasai,
something?
yeah. We learned about the
Nasai.
Maasai when I was at school. I don't know if you did this on your curriculum, but it was part of our geography, not even GCSE, but like Year 8 geography. We learned about the Maasai tribe, and the only thing I remember about them is that they drink cow's blood and they drink cow's milk, and sometimes they mix it together for a little like milkshake.
His trip to them, I feel like, was essentially used as look, black people are saying it, so
Well, people who've had no.
you know, you can't criticize them because they're black. I went to see actual Africans in Africa, and they're black, and they said
Well,
it, so you can't call me racist.
these people haven't been. They haven't had any education in gender ideology. Like, the point is that these people don't know about chromosomes, and they don't know
No,
about Kinsey and
he
money
didn't.
and.
He didn't go to visit the ladyboys of Bangkok.
Yeah, maybe he should have. Yeah, I mean, I guess the Daily Wire couldn't afford more than one international flight. Oh, yeah, he talked to Jordan Peterson as well. I saw that in the trailer, and that's what made me think maybe it was going to be a slightly more interesting documentary. I thought that he would, if he just talked to Jordan Peterson for an hour and a half, I feel like this would be more interesting
Jordan
than.
Peterson is a, Jordan Peterson, like, as much as you know, there was that little bit about Kinsey and money, but I mean that's essentially what Jordan Peterson's view of the world is essentially pretty
No,
much
no.
in
Well,
that verse
I know that a lot of
with a
people
bit of
think
Jung.
that Jordan Peterson's a bit cringy. A lot of people don't like him, but I will say he's got a very good handle on psychology. He understands sex differences very well in terms of the brains, and you know, he was talking about percentages, like 1 in 10 women is as masculine as the typical man in terms of temperament and personality and preferences,
But
that sort of thing.
why is that? Should that be the case? Has that always been the case?
Well, Jordan Peterson's view of personality is that obviously there's something that's like about half of it is determined by just variation in your genes, in your
I don't
you don't believe
really
that?
see psychology as I have like quite I've got quite a lot of issues with psychology.
Okay. But what I was going to say is that he also has a very good grasp on mythology, the Jungian archetypes, you know, all this stuff about the maiden, the mother, and the crone. He's got, like, you know, he's read a lot of not just non-fiction psychology stuff, but also like mythology. He knows a lot of mythology.
Yes, but he's not able to. He's not able to see the truth of those things outside of their utility. He's not able to step outside of the sort of our cultural milieu and see it as a legitimate form of truth beyond its utility.
I know I'm going to get in trouble with AA. I don't think he's listening right now. He'll be listening to this back. I wanted to talk about that sex reassignment surgeon who one of the darker...
Did you notice the door, her office number was 101?
I didn't notice that, no. I don't know why we never talk about this, even though, not we, I mean, I've never actually heard people talk about, it's always like, what is a woman and what is a man? And that's like the kind of nicer way to talk about it. But I think you'll agree with me that it doesn't matter how you like carve up someone's, you know, a man's genitals, like whatever you make at the end of that, no matter how good it is, you haven't made... I'm not going to say the word because A is going to get on my case. You haven't made female genitalia. You just carved up a male genitalia,
and
right?
And that was really, I mean, most people, I don't think that woman I can't remember her name, the woman that transitioned at 40 to a man, her details of exactly what was causing the repeated infections that she was having were extremely graphic. And that was like just something that is just so beyond terrific. That is,
Wait, is Sargon in the chat? Why are people talking about Sargon?
Because he's in the chat.
Oh, sorry. I should have drawn attention to it. It was supposed to just pretend like he's not here. Okay. Mm. Well, I'm glad we did a very popular topic. You know, we did a clickbait video on a topical subject, and now we're getting finally we're getting the views we deserve. Did you see the Ricky Gervais bit that I linked? It was like
yes.
You know, we often talk about how the elites sort of work in concert to just because they're not even trying to hide the fact that they're in league with each other. But the fact is that there's been a weird synchronicity. Maybe it's Pride Week or Pride Month or whatever. But this Ricky Gervais stand up came out like the same week as What Is a Woman. Netflix, of all people, of all companies, published the latest Ricky Gervais stand-up where, like, right at the beginning, in the first 5 minutes of the show, there's this 1 minute, 20-second bit where he is mocking the idea that that men can be women and go into women's spaces. And I've got to admit, I thought it was funny. Like, I laughed. It's a funny bit. I don't know what you think.
I don't really like Ricky Gervais or that.
Look, I don't either. Look, I don't want to be like the one defending Ricky Gervais. Like, I think, I don't know. I thought it was funny.
Well, I thought that, I mean, it's essentially the same, it's the Sargon's in the chat. It's essentially the same joke Sargon's been making since 2014, isn't it?
It's just, he does like his characters and... You know. Yeah, Ricky Gervais is a professional comedian, so he's got a funny manner about him. Or he's a comic, as some people say. You know, a comedian says funny things and a comic says things funny. You ever heard that? Like, he just, like, does, like, the characters and the overemphasizing the things. Yeah. I like it. I like The Office. I like extras. You know,
I quite like The Office, but that's...
Yeah. And then, also, on top of that, there's also... Bill Maher, who I'm not really familiar with, but he's one of those American late night guys.
The guests on.
Yeah, but then they also have like their topical bits where they talk about the news. And I didn't see the context of this, but he had a similar 4 minutes of I won't call it what I'm thinking in my head, but of criticizing gender ideology, we'll call it. Mm-hmm. And he, again, it was kind of funny. Like, I'm used to Bill Maher being extremely cringy because he's always just making jokes about left-wing politics. And I was kind of ashamed of how easy it is to make me laugh if it's just they make jokes that are in agreement with what I think already.
Yeah.
You know, it's cringy when they do it about their politics, but then when he's talking about women in bathrooms, it makes me, like, roll on the floor, laugh my ass off.
I don't know. I've never really seen it. I know that he's always having, like, he had, like, Brett and Heather Weinstein on and, like, Jordan Peterson and stuff on his show.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's always getting, like, these kind of...
Yeah, he's very
people,
like
that IDW groups people and stuff, isn't he?
Yeah, you had he had Sam Harris on. It's so bizarre, like the way that modern media works, because he had Sam Harris on talking to Ben Affleck about talking to Ben Affleck about Islam. Do you know this? It's really funny if you go back and watch it, because Sam Harris was on. He's on this like mainstream, you know, news entertainment thing, talking about how basically terrorism is caused by Islam. Like, there's a causal relationship between the ideology of Islam and the sorry, just a sec, the baby monitor's going off, and the actions that Islamic terrorists take. And Ben Affleck was just triggered out of his mind, and he's like, he looks like System 32's been deleted. Like, he looks like he's really gonna, like, lose it. He's about to punch Sam Harris in the face. This was, like, light years. This was years ago in terms of what's going on now. That's Bill Maher, anyway. He's, like, a lefty, but he pretends to be a centrist by bringing on, like, people.
A sort of faux intellectual Jerry Springer, by the sounds of it.
A little bit, yeah. But, yeah, this week, the same week that Ricky Gervais did something similar and What Is a Woman was aired, Bill Maher was doing this pretty funny material on his show. And it just makes me wonder, if there were a limit to how much people could accept without, like, openly mocking it, have we actually reached that limit now where it's now becoming mainstream to mock these ideas?
I mean, was that Ricky Gervais thing, was a Netflix original?
Yeah. And Netflix, before it came out, they fired a bunch of people for being too woke. They said, like, if you have a problem with edgy humor, then get lost, because we're not gonna coddle you anymore. And they fired, like, 100 people from their offices.
Isn't, like, Ben Shapiro's mom, does she works in Hollywood, doesn't she? She works in Hollywood production.
I've certainly seen a lot of Shapiros if you look at the credits of movies.
Yeah, and his cousin.
I assume they're not all related.
I guess.
His
cousin's an actress. His mum works in Hollywood.
When Netflix takes down Cuties and doesn't let you watch it anymore, that's when I'll accept that they're really they're getting rid of, they're putting all this stuff in the trash. But until then, I remain dubious. But I'm looking out for it, because as much as I do agree with AA about, you know, the regime and the media, and they're all just two sides of the same movement. It is interesting to see these weird coincidences of stuff like this, where they find the limit of what they can push. Well, we'll see if it happens anyway.
Well, if you have these things all being released at once, then they advertise each other. Right.
Yeah.
So so when they trend for outrage, then, you know, they're all referenced, so people can find out about them, I guess.
Did you have any more on What Is a Woman? Because I've got several. Oh no, I do. Just you think about that, Amy, and I'm going to bring up an image, a screenshot that I found. So I'm just trying to. My mouse is on the other screen. Okay, I'll see if I can share this. I just want to share this picture. Okay, Amy, this is the very last sort of segment of the show, the way he goes and asks his wife in that extremely cringy staged bit. Do you notice anything weird about Matt Walsh's TV in the background here? I don't even know if this is his real house, by the way, because it's so staged I can believe it's in like a set. Notice anything weird?
If that's his real house, then I'm willing also to make bad documentaries for the Daily Wire.
It's a nice house, isn't it? The TV. Most people won't understand this. They won't understand this, but this TV is too high. If you imagine sitting here in this chair that Matt Walsh has got by his elbow, and this sofa here, you can imagine the angle that you have to crane your neck to like look like you. Like imagine watching like a 2-hour movie and you've got your head at that angle. This is something really common that people do when they have a TV mounted to the wall. They'll put it above a fireplace so that it's just way too high on the wall. When a television, I've got a TV mounted to the wall, and this is when my husband taught me that a television should be at the, it should be at eye level. Like the center of the screen should be the center of your eyes, which to most people looks too low, but actually it makes perfect sense. If you ever do like a workplace assessment for your monitor at work, they'll tell you the same thing, that your monitor should be at eye level, and it's exactly the same for the TV. And people don't know about this, and they get sore necks, and it's a real shame.
Well, so people have like rent out houses to make things like this and TV shows in and adverts and stuff, don't they? It could just be a show.
Yes,
show house.
Very much. Yeah. Look at this stuff on his shelves. Like, does he really? Is this really Matt Walsh's like stuff that he has on his shelves? This is so. It's very picturesque. Yeah, I could believe his, you know, The Bachelor and all those reality TV shows where they live in a house together. That's, those are all rented houses. Those aren't real. They have to shoot those somewhere, don't they? So this could be one
Someone
of those
says
homes.
He looks like a hipster. Do you think Matt Walsh looks like a hipster? Do you think he's just got that kind of soy look about him?
Well, if just by checkboxes alone, he's got the glasses, he's got those, like, you know, thick-rimmed glasses, he's got the beard, and he's got this sort of flannel-ish shirt, and he's got a tattoo in his forearm. So yes, in this shot, he looks very hipster, in my opinion. Okay, it's 1:45. Birdie still isn't here. So we'll have to go on to the the other segments of the show to fill in the last 15 minutes. We're starting a new segment. Amy, I'm so glad you're here with me.
A new segment.
Did you have any last... While I prepare the last segment, please tell us anything... Did you write anything else down or have anything else to say about what is a woman?
I think that last week, or was it this week, at some point in the not too distant past, Scrump did a stream with Evelyn and Philosophy Cat, where they talk about Evelyn's views on gender. And I thought that was quite interesting. I thought that I really enjoyed that stream. And I think that that has quite good articulations of the kind of worldview that is this sort of criticism of trans ideology from Matt Walsh's worldview that I could not articulate as well as them.
Great. I'll definitely look that up. I'm such a boomer. I don't know how to make this image bigger, so I'm gonna have to make it full screen and just hope that's big enough. Okay, so the segment is called The Weekly Laney. I don't know if you remember, Amy, you may not have been on the stream where we Birdie's here, but her device isn't connected, so we'll have to wait for that. Here she is. You're here in time for our new segment, Birdie. Welcome.
Good evening. How are you, ladies?
Oh, we're fine. We just had a great stream. And Sargon may or may not be watching, so that's exciting.
Well, good evening, Sargon, if he appears watching.
Okay, here's the Weekly Laney. This is a comic artist on Instagram who my husband follows. He hate follows her. You may remember her from a previous episode of Women's Hour, and she just does these extremely cringy comics, and I wanted to review them with you. So this week, are you seeing it? Have you got it on the screen there?
I can't. I'll make mine bigger.
I'll read it. I'll read it. Okay. So the first picture of the lady with the brown hair says, perfectly valid choice of parenting. And she's a lady with tattoos and, you know, a rock star outfit. And she's holding a baby. And
I don't like the way she's grabbing that baby.
Sometimes you gotta, Amy. You gotta hold a baby whatever way you can a lot of the time. That is like that's a perfectly valid.
If you can wear that outfit on a day to day basis, you've got to be nimble enough to hold a baby in a better way.
White is a bold choice. Yes. Wearing white is a very bold choice.
It does mask the older puke though. You know, when they only drink milk, the puke is always white. Anyway, and the next lady, this Asian woman, is holding a dog, and it says, perfectly valid choice of parenting. What Lainey is saying, Lainey does not have children myself, by the way. I know this because I read these very long paragraphs that she writes next to her comics. So she's saying that having a dog, if you want to call yourself a parent because you have a dog, she thinks that's just as valid as a woman who has a baby calling herself a parent. Do we need to read this? Because she always writes like she does these fairly succinct comics, and then she ruins it by having like a whole paragraph next to it. Sorry, I have to get it out of the way of my mic so I can read it. We're dealing with the myth of crazy cat lady less and less, but it seems like the still ongoing fight to convince the world that human children are optional. Not having them is either a conscious choice or future possibility or unfortunate sad circumstance, either of them worthy of empathy and understanding. In my mind, there is nothing controversial in using the word parenting for taking care of any living being. We parent ourselves. We parent our parents or friends or even a oh my god, she can't even, didn't even like proofread this own thing, or even her parents sometimes. She parents her parents. She said it twice. Heck, we can even parent our businesses or ventures. The environment as we parent pets too. Okay, I'm not reading this. This is too much. We got more Lainey's here.
This is like the therapy speak of they were kind of talking about. We're using the sort of doctors and therapists we're using in the interviews. It's the same kind of thing, isn't it?
Is it? Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it's very loose. I'm thinking. I just realized that the window that I had open was masking. Oh, you can see all my tabs as well. See, I did this all wrong. Let's do this again.
Hiding the evidence.
Yeah, okay. It looks like hiding the tabs is not optional. There's nothing incriminating in there.
There was just already know you follow Lainey on Instagram. So.
Yeah. Okay, this is the next one. There's no way of hiding it, so we're just going to go ahead with it. This is the new one. It's two guys talking to each other. The first guy says, she's crazy. She must be on her period. And then the guy he's talking to says, or she is expressing her healthy emotions that you never learned how to process, so you get angry and punch balls instead. That's the comic. Yeah. I get, like, a lot of these just aren't, they're not funny. It's like Nanette stand-up. It's like, women do comedy and then they just, like, decide that comedy doesn't have to be funny anyway.
Like, it's pretending women don't get a bit pissed off.
Most comedy is just pure sarcasm.
Yeah. Yeah, you just say something slightly snarky and then that's
yeah.
That's the equivalent of making a joke. Shall I read the spiel? For my next trick, instead of a woman, I will draw a man to hold a man accountable. Because in an ideal world, this would be so normal we wouldn't even mention it. And in our non-ideal world, this is the only way to end misogyny. This is going to piss some people off for sure, smiley face. She's saying that she drew it as a man criticizing his friend because that's how it should be in the ideal world where men are calling
us out. Why is she explaining jokes?
Don't ask me. Like, it's for women.
Why is she explaining jokes?
This is what happens.
Isn't that like the definition of what everyone knows to be the definition of a bad joke is if you have to explain it? And yes. She's just writing paragraphs explaining.
This is a woman writing comics for women. This is what comedy is. And let's not even get started about the gaslighting that is calling women crazy, unhinged, or hysterical for expressing emotions or triggers. Yeah, you know, I think as a woman, and I'd suggest this for men who live with women, that you should understand the effect that the monthly hormonal cycle has on your personality and your temperament, because it'll help you just understand what's going on. Where you know, like it's kind of a relief if you've ever felt really anxious or depressed as a woman. Sometimes it just feels like your whole life is falling apart, and then you remember that it's being caused by. Mm-hmm. It's just like you go, oh, thank goodness, it's just my period.
I swear that this is why the pill was actually invented, was to just make women placid like men, so that they can work and not be crazy, hysterical, and
pretty much
insane. I thought it like half the month.
I thought it made women crazy, irrational, and insane for the entire month, and that was to nobody's benefit.
I thought it was used to treat really bad PMS, so. I assume
that it would be. Yeah, it doesn't work. And this has been your weekly Lainey. Tune in next week to see what else crazy, crazy bullshit she's.
Did you see that? She's done like a design for Bloom. I think Bloom Gin, where she's got all the little cartoons on it, and it's just like fat women holding, like drinking all over it. In white, dress, holding up like a bottle of gin, like this big black fat woman. It's like, oh.
I think I did see that, yeah.
Why? Sorry, what has that got to do with gin?
It was just lots of gin? Women, lots of variety, a variety of women enjoying gin in a variety of ways. I mean, why not get hammered on your wedding night?
Because it's your wedding night. End of conversation.
Birdie, did you want to give us a segment on how to correctly boil and peel an egg?
Oh my god. I completely forgot about this. So for a bit of...
Shall I share your image?
You can do, yeah. For a bit of a background knowledge on this one, I sent a photo, which I think Poe's going to find for you now, to the group chat. Sat having my lunch. It was specifically meant to be a photo of the little bird, the little robin that came, or it normally sits with me at lunch.
You're like a Disney princess, Birdie.
I wouldn't go that far.
Until the squirrel bites her.
Until the squirrel bites me. That wasn't, yeah. It's a bit chaotic. These things all happen in one day. So the photo that I shared, this one here. So the robin came up and said hello, but everyone in the group chat honed in on my egg. Because there was a bit of controversy, because they all thought it was a poached egg, and it wasn't. It is a boiled egg.
No, I thought it was. I correctly identified egg cooking methods.
Defensive Amy.
This should be like, what is a woman? They would have this, because AA got this wrong, and I got it right. I think this is integral to womanhood.
Yeah, I mean, AA thought that this was a poached egg. It was not. It was a peeled, boiled egg, and I'd bitten into half of it, and yeah, it was very, very squishy, and it just kind of collapsed on the plate. But
I like it. I like a runny yolk, and I'd love to be able to boil an egg with such perfection that it's just good. You know, it's just like viscous enough that it drips out, but not like running out. Like
I'm gonna ruin that for you now, Poe. That I actually like mine cooked a bit more than this. I'm that horrible person who actually likes boiled eggs cooked.
Is that cheese in your sandwich, Birdie? Did you have egg with egg?
No, it's cheese. I didn't have. I'm not that much of a heenan that I had cheese with cheese. It's egg with egg. Sorry.
Yeah, I like a lot of things about this picture. I like your mug. I like that like strong looking tea you've got in the mug, and the robin, of course.
I think I sent. I normally send a photo similar to this to the group chat when I'm usually at work. It's quite funny.
So yes, was that a work egg? Does your work provide perfectly boiled eggs for you?
Yes, they do.
Ooh.
So, I mean, that's an excuse to come down and visit anyway. We provide perfectly cooked eggs.
Do you like pickled eggs?
No. No. There's just something wrong about pickled eggs.
Just revealed my DMs. I was so, like, I forgot I was sharing. I was so mindlessly just, like, always, like, clicking away from... things. Never mind. There was nothing incriminating there, I promise. I did have one more thing to share. I don't know, anything about the Jubilee you guys wanted to talk about at all?
Other than the Steam Fair.
Oh yes, please tell us about the Steam Fair. How did that go?
One for a start, I want to say thank you to those who came down. We were pleasantly surprised about how many people turned up. I think there was a group of, I think it was 8 of them, who all came in convoy. They all came down together, and then there was, is it 2 or 3 other listeners of the show who just came to say hello, which was very, very nice. So yeah, thank you to those people who came down. Yeah, in terms of the actual day, we got the numbers in. I think some people have seen the tweet, but for those who haven't, over 2,000 people attended, which was amazing. And we've raised over £5,000 for the Robey Trust. So all in all, it was a very successful day. Obviously, it will be on again next year. So I think we're going to start planning that in a couple of weeks. just plan it all again. But yeah, it all went very, very well.
And the weather held out for you, did it?
It did, yes. Very lucky. We had a little bit of sort of mizzle. It wasn't really rain, wasn't drizzle. It's just sort of a bit gross for maybe half an hour. But apart from that, it was all great. And yeah, I think everybody enjoyed themselves.
Did any of you have a Jubilee trifle over the weekend?
No. No, I didn't have time to make one, Poet.
I didn't. But I did see someone walking around with one, and I recognised it because I've seen... There was like a British Bake Off competition,
yes,
where people would submit their trifles. Not trifles, but there was going to be like an official dessert of the Jubilee, and there was a competition for it. And I was shocked to see that they... Apparently the woman who won, she didn't seem to be any kind of... diversity group. Like, it seemed, other than being female, it seems like she must have been selected on merit alone, because there was nothing, she wasn't disabled or any kind of weird minority. She was just a woman.
This is rare now, Poe. This is becoming rare. Just
yes,
a person with no titles or other things, specifications, to win something. It is rare, yeah, for them to win now. So
yeah, it looked like it was like a lemon and white chocolate trifle. Like, it looked all right. I'm not gonna go to the trouble of making it myself, but it was like a nice thing. Like, we talked about the Jubilee last week, because it just felt like such a cozy, peculiarly British celebration of people just celebrating with our lovely Queen and the British flag, and and a trifle is a very British kind of dessert. So it was a nice cosy thing to celebrate for once, and we had a good time seeing all the... It was like awful weather on Sunday, but it was nice. Next week, if you two are up for it, and we'll try and get Sarah involved as well, although she's elusive as always, we'll try and get her on. We're going to have our supermarket shopping special. Or maybe it's just shopping special.
I feel like we're going to wind up a lot of people with this one.
Yeah, so I thought that our thrifty, what do you call it, our frugal spending highlights on how to eat for less, that stream was very good, technical problems aside. And I really wanted to do another stream like that, where we talk about the... what used to be called home economics, right? Like the science of how to live as an adult. So we're doing more shopping, talking about supermarkets. I've got a game for us to play together, and I'll save that as a mystery, but that'll take some preparation. We'll be doing that next week, talking about shopping. And for the gentleman who keeps pestering me about the sugar tax, that is going to be included in the shopping stream. I'm going to reveal the drinks that you can still buy that contain sugar, which is my preference.
We'll rush out to buy them all.
Yeah, and we're also going to have some talk about secondhand buying, which we didn't.
Yes.
We had more money saving tips that didn't make it into the show last time, so we're going to have a little bit of that. Talking about secondhand, talking about the small shops that supermarkets have pushed out of the market. And all of that. Best supermarket, submit your questions and come in and say hello for that. Thank you very much for joining us, everyone. Thank you, Birdie. Thank you, Amy. The links to everything are in the description. Please go to my channel and watch my latest videos. please go to Amy's channel and watch her latest videos, and subscribe to Birdie on Twitter if you want to see pictures of robins and boiled eggs.
Very sweet.
Thanks, everybody.